Today we're doing Daf Tzadi Tes Amud Beis of Maseches Bava Metzia. We are holding at Amar Shmuel. You got it? Amar Shmuel? It's exactly where Chaim just left off, so you should find it easily, the fourth line on the page. Amar Shmuel. Hayman de Gazel Chavitza de Tamri Nechavero. A guy stole a bundle of dates from somebody else. Good? He stole a bundle of dates. V'ispa Chamishim Tamri. And how many dates are in there? 50 dates. He's got 50 dates that he stole from somebody else. So how much? So normally when you steal, what do you have to pay back? Whatever it's worth, right? How much are these dates worth? Well, it depends how you sell them. Agav hadadi mizdavin b'chamishim l'chichada. If you sell all 50 at one time, so when you buy in bulk, you go to Costco, you get things a little bit cheaper. So if you buy all 50 dates at one time, you'll get them for 50 minus 1. 50 minus 1 is... fantastic. 49. You guys are on top of it. Chada chada, but if you sell them one at a time, mizdavin b'chamishim, then it costs 50, the full 50, because one at a time is one pruta for each date. So what do you pay back? You stole 50 dates. Do you owe the guy $49 or do you owe the guy $50? So it says, if you stole it from a person, from an individual person, mishalim chamishim nechichada, you only owe him $49. But lehegdish, if you stole it from hegdish, if these were dates that belong to the Beis HaMikdash, mishalim chamishim, you have to pay $50. V'chum shayu, and then on top of the $50, whenever you steal from hegdish, you have to pay an extra chomesh. An extra, what's a chomesh? A fifth. But a fifth is what we would call a fourth, right? It's really 25%. Not going to get into why that is, right? But you pay an extra fifth, what we call a chomesh milavar. You pay an extra 25%. So says Gemar, Masha'in kin b'mazik. This is all, everything we've been talking about is if you steal. You steal from a regular guy, you pay the... You pay the 49. You steal from Hagdish, you pay the full 50. But what if you damage? Mashain ken b'mazik, as opposed to a case where you damage Hagdish, de lo mishalim chumsha. If you damage Hagdish, you have to pay Hagdish the value of what you damage, but you do not have to add a fifth. So it's unusual, because what difference does it make? Either whether you steal from Hagdish or you damage Hagdish, you cost them money. You cost the base of Hagdish money. Yet when you steal from Hagdish, you add an extra fifth. When you damage Hagdish, you don't add an extra fifth. Why? The Amar Mar, because we darshan the pasuk. The pasuk says, "V'ish ki yochal kodesh." When the pasuk talks about adding a fifth, the end of that pasuk is "V'ish ki yochal kodesh bishkaga v'yasav chamishi so alav." That if a person eats hegdish b'shogeg, he adds an extra fifth. So we darshan prat lemazik, that it's only when you enjoyed your damage, as opposed to when you damage hegdish, then you don't have to pay the extra fifth. So when it's like eating, like when you steal and you enjoy it for yourself, then you add an extra fifth. But when you never enjoyed it for yourself, you just went around smashing things with a baseball bat or a flamethrower or any other way that you choose to damage, then you do not add an extra fifth. Good, says Gemara. Maskefla Rav Bibi Bar Abaye. Lahedyot amay mishalim chamishim lechichada, namely anach chada chada havem mezabnin alehu. Going back to the original halacha we said over here, you stole 50 dates from a regular guy. How much? And they cost a pruta each. But when they're sold in bulk at Costco, they cost 49. And we said, how much do you pay? 49. Why can't the guy tell you, I'm not Costco. I run a little, bodega, a little 24-hour 7-Eleven. I sell one at a time. I don't, they say not for individual sale. Well, I do it for individual sale. I rip open the box and I sell it for a dollar a piece. So, I was planning on selling it for a dollar a piece. So you should pay me 50, not 49. Can't the guy say to him, I was going to sell it one at a time? Some Rav Hunder Breit Rav Shua. Now, this is a broader rule that applies throughout Shas. The Mishnah Maseches Bava Kama says, let's say my animal goes in to your field and damages one row of grain in your field. So how do we assess the value of one row? So the halacha is Shamin Beisa'a Ba'osasada. We zoom out a little bit. We look at an entire Beisa'a of the field, which is a large area of the field, and we say, how much was this field worth before the animal damaged one row? How much is it worth now that the animal did damage one row? And the difference is what you pay. We don't just look at that row. How much is this row worth? How much can you sell this for? We look in the bigger picture. We zoom out to look at the bigger picture. So we see that the Torah is a little bit lenient with the damager, that we shouldn't have to look at the damage as is. We get to look at it, you know, in bigger picture. So the same is true over here, that when you damage somebody else, you don't have to pay the $50. You can look at it as one big unit and only pay $49. So says the Gemara, the Meimra de Savar Shmuel, Din Hedyot, Lav Kedin Gavoa Dami. Wow, does Shmuel really mean to tell me that the din of stealing from Hegdish is different than the din of stealing from a regular person? That they have different rules? Where did we see that they have different rules? That Shmuel said they have different rules? He said 50 and 49, right? It's 50 from Hegdish, 49 from Hedyot. So one thing that he made very clear is that they have different rules. So does he really hold that? Is he consistent with that? That Hegdish and Hedyot have different rules? So Vahatnan, but don't we have a Mishnah that tells us as follows? This Mishnah appears in Maseches Me'ilah. Can you guess what Maseches Me'ilah is about? Being Moel in Hegdish, right? Getting Hana from Hegdish. So Maseches Me'ilah talks about the Gizbar of Hegdish. Who's the Gizbar? He's the treasurer. He's the guy in charge of all the money of Hegdish. So, like, if the Gizbar has something that, you know, if you saw me walking down the street with, like, Hegdish stuff sticking out of my pocket, you'd start getting nervous and you'd say, like, what's going on over there? The rabbi's stealing from Hegdish. He's taking stuff out. If you see the Gizbar walking around with stuff that belongs to Hegdish, well, that's okay. That's like his job. That's what he deals with. That's what he does all the time. So says the what? It is somewhat, and that's why there are rules about, you know, about how many people have to be involved at each stage when money is spent and when money is moved. I mean, this it's a serious, and that's why shul charity accounts work the same way. But hopefully, when it's done properly, that it's not just the rabbi has free rein over the account and gives to whoever he wants to. There's like there's oversight. There's people who check the books, and there, right? That's the way things have to work when you're dealing with money that's not yours. You're dealing with community money. So over here, you're dealing with Hegdish money. So what does the Mishnah say? Natal evno kora me Hegdish. The Gizbar takes a stone or a beam from Hegdish. So he's holding it. Lo ma'al. He has not violated Me'ilah yet. Why not? He's the Gizbar. That's what he's supposed to be. Meaning, he hasn't done anything out of the ordinary. If I'm holding a stone or a beam of Hegdish, then I've done something. I've already taken it out of the Rishus of Hegdish. The Gizbar is the Rishus of Hegdish. He's the representative of Hegdish. So he hasn't taken it out of the Rishus of Hegdish. So he has not violated Me'ilah. You know when he violates Me'ilah? Nasana lechavero. If he gives it to somebody else, who ma'al? Then the Gizbar has violated Me'ilah, the chavero lo ma'al. The guy who received it has not yet violated Me'ilah because he hasn't done anything with it yet. Bina'a besoch beso. Another halacha. Let's say the Gizbar builds this beam into his house. He's doing construction on his house. This nice big beam shows up, comes from Hegdish, and he puts it right into the house. Lo ma'al. He has not yet violated Me'ilah. When does he violate Me'ilah? Because he's the Gizbar. He hasn't done anything yet. Ad sheyodur tachteha b'shava pruta. Until he lives in that house and he gets a pruta worth of hana'a from that beam. That's when the Gizbar has violated Me'ilah. So what does this Mishnah Me'ilah tell us? In short, the Mishnah tells us two halachos. That if a Gizbar takes material of Hegdish, he has not violated Me'ilah until he gives it to somebody else. A second halacha this Mishnah taught us, that if the Gizbar puts a beam of Hegdish in his house, he only violates Me'ilah when? Good, when he got a Shav Brut of Hana from living under it. Now, if Shmuel were to be consistent, then Shmuel would say the same halacha would apply when you take from a Hedyot. When you take from a regular person. If this is true by Hegdish, that we look at living under it as being something of value, then when it comes to living under someone else's roof, we should also evaluate it in a similar way. So, V'yasev Rabbi Avo kamed Rabbi Yochanan, V'yasev kamer mishmeid Shmuel, and Rabbi Avo was sitting in front of Rabbi Yochanan once, and he reported that Shmuel commented on this, Zosomeres, we see from this Mishnah that someone who gets Hana'a from Hegdish violates Me'ilah, even though Hegdish doesn't even, you know, realize what's going on, and you didn't do anything to the object. we see from this Mishnah that the same is going to apply by a regular guy. Hadar b'chatzik haver, shalom idaito. I noticed that my neighbor goes on vacation. He goes to Florida for, we used to have neighbors that went to Florida for like 6 months out of the year. So like, you know, I'm having a lot of company. They left me the key just in case anything happens. Yeah, and something happened. I'm having a lot of company and I could really use the extra space. So I go into the house and I live in their house for like 4 months. Because, you know, why not? They're not there anyway. So what happens? Do I have to, and then they find out, right? Do I have to pay for that?
For what?
Well, how much is rent of a house in North Woodmere? It's a four-bedroom, Woodmere 400 split, about $3,500 a month, let's say. Right? So for 4 months, if he wanted to rent it out, he could have charged $14,000. He wasn't going to rent it out. He just closed it up. He wasn't interested in having anyone live there. Right? So do I have to pay him? So hadar b'chatzik haver shlomi daito sarich lalos l'schar, that you got to pay him. Why? Because what did we see from the Hegdish case? That living under it is called hana. That you have to that has a value to it, and that's why you violate me'ila there. Living under my friend's roof is something that I'm going to have to pay for. That's something. So you see that. What does Shmuel say? That the two are the same. Whatever the rule is by Hegdish, the rule has to be by a hedyot. Why is that a kasha? Because what do we start with? The Shmuel says, if you steal from a hedyot, you pay 49, and if you steal from Hegdish, you pay 50. So apparently, it's a steer in Shmuel. Shmuel first said that the dinim are different between hedyot and Hegdish. Now he's saying they're the same. So says Gemara, oh, there's an easy answer. Hadar be Shmuel me'ahi. Shmuel changed his mind. That thing about living in the house, he didn't really say that anymore. He changed his mind. So says the Gemara, umimai dimeahi hadabe. I'll even accept that he changed his mind. But how do you know historically which statement was said first, right? Which one he changed his mind from? How do you know that he changed his mind about the thing living in your friend's house, in his friend's house? Maybe he changed his mind about the thing about stealing 50 dates. Maybe that's what he changed his mind from. So how do you know which one he changed? Says Marlo, I'll prove to you. I can tell you for sure he changed his mind about the thing about living in someone else's house. Kirava, because he holds like Rava. Dama Rava, Hegdish Shalom Midas, Kedyot Midas Tami. You see, if I live in my neighbor's house and they have no idea I'm there, you can't compare that to living in something that belongs to Hegdish. Think about that for a second. I live in my neighbor's house, the owner has no idea that I'm there. You can't compare that to living in something that belongs to Hegdish. Why? The owner always knows you're there. He's always watching, right? That's Hegdish Midas. The owner of Hegdish, the real owner, is God. So he always knows you're watching. So main point over here, Shmuel holds that Hegdish and Hedyot could have different rules. Hegdish and Hedyot could have different rules. And that's why when you steal 50 dates, you pay 50 to the Hegdish, but only 49 to the Hedyot. Okay, last little shtickle now. When it's midas, then it's whatever you agreed upon. Meaning, if he knows you're coming to his house and he didn't ask you for money, then he's telling you, or if he told you, okay, this is the rent payment, so that's what you pay, right? So that's always going to be different. The whole idea of a squatter, right? You're just going in and you're... That's a squatter. I remember when the Yeshiva Ketan of Long Island was building their building. So before they built the building, they bought this property with a house on it. And it sat there for a while because that's the way things work when it comes to buildings, as I'm learning. They do and they stop. And they, you know, so this is the way things happen. So they had a house on the property and they weren't doing anything with it for a while until they got all the money together. And I remember speaking to one of the administrators in the yeshiva. He said, Rabbi, we get a mazel tov. I said, why? He said, we had a baby on the property. It's in Inwood. So some squatter just moved in and some 16-year-old had a baby in the mazel tov. So, Amar Rava, Hani Shikolai. There were these guys who were schleppers, movers, you know, people who schlep for a living. They were schlepping barrels of wine and they broke one, they dropped one. So they dropped the wine. So they have to pay for it because let's say they were negligent, right? The movers were just chucking it or something, right? And they dropped one, so it broke. So now they're going to have to pay. The problem is assessing how much it's worth. Because biyom at the shukah mizdavna b'chamesh. On the big market day, you know, the day that everyone comes into town, into the big city to do their business, you know, to be able to buy and sell and trade and whatever they used to have these days. So then it would sell for five because there's a lot of demand on those days. And everything in pricing is about supply and demand, right? So there's a lot of demand on those days. Bishar yomei, and every other day, mizdavna barba. It would only sell for four. So how much do you pay for it? If you pay them back before the next market day, you could just give them back a barrel of wine. You don't need to pay the full five. Just give them back a barrel of wine, which you can buy yourself now for four, right? And that's fine. Because as long as he gets it in time for the market day, he'll still be able to make his $5. But Bishar Yomei, if you return it on any other day, meaning after the market day, so he already lost his opportunity on the market day, then mahadrulei chamesh. Then you got to pay five because you cost him five. V'lo amran al delo havelei chamer lezvune. But that's only if the guy who owned that barrel of wine that you broke didn't have any other wine to sell. So this, you know, not having this wine cost him $5. But if he had a whole store full of wine and his store is not empty now, he didn't sell out, he didn't sell everything, so it didn't cost him anything. However many customers he had is how many customers he would have had, and it didn't change anything. Then, you know, he should have sold what he had. You know, he can't tell you that I would have sold this for $5. Why don't you sell what you already had? And therefore, you only have to pay four. But minakalei agar tirchei demei barzan yasa. But you subtract from the payment, whatever it is that you pay him, you subtract from the, even if you have to pay him five, let's say, you subtract from the payment the trouble that he would have had to, the cost of the trouble he would have had to gone through to sell it. Meaning, let's say I were to go over to my neighbor and say, you know, you work for a living, how much are you going to make today? And he'll say, let's say, I don't know, depends on the neighbor probably, but he says, I'll make $2,000 today. Right, I'll make $2,000. Good day. So I'll say, okay, I'll give you $2,000. Stay in bed. Now, what's better for you? $2,000 and take the day off, or $2,000 and work for it? Take the day off. I mean, he gets the day off, right? Meaning he doesn't have to work and he gets $2,000. Like, I'll sign up for that, right? If you can make the same money. So obviously, there is some value to the fact that he has to work. So now I'm getting, you know, the guy's saying, I could have sold that for five zuz, but you would have had to work all day to sell that for five zuz. Now I broke it and I'm just giving you five zuz. So I get to subtract from that five zuz the value of you taking some time off. So how would we summarize this in the main point? Who's got this one? How would we summarize this whole little piece here? When movers break a barrel, so it's hard to like summarize, right? When movers break a barrel, if they pay before the market day, they could just replace the barrel. If they pay, right? Probably. If they pay after the market day, then they have to pay the full price. Minus the tircha. That's a good question.